Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 10 this morning. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And they titled this, Fellowship with Him and One Another. I kind of like that. You know, I titled it my message on the blood of Jesus. But it says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Not a little bit, but all. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Whoa. Heavenly Father, this is your word. And I declare this word is to be infallible, truth, encouraging, uplifting, and helps us, oh God, and through all our days. You're always there, Lord, because you're in the word. You're always there because you're in our hearts. You're always there, Lord. Help us, oh God, realize that in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. How many have ever seen any pictures or scenery or whatever of mountain climbers? Okay? Climbing Mount Everest. I saw that movie. That was horrible. You know? But climbing Switzerland, all these mountain climbers. Let me give you kind of an idea how these mountain climbers, even that movie Mount Everest, when you saw the mountain climbers, when they did fall, what kept them from falling completely off the mountain? What? The ropes, okay? These are very colorful people when they're climbing up there. You could probably see the little dots with all the different colors they were, because they're very colorful. They're very colorful, and one thing that is connected that is common to all the climbers, they are connected by a rope, okay? But it's not just any rope. You got to understand, they have to trust that rope. And let me give you kind of, they got their backpacks on, their spikes in their boots, and faith in their hearts, they're going to make it to the top. The leader has a rope with an anchor on the end. He throws it out and anchors it on a ledge somewhere above him. He doesn't exactly know where, but he anchors it into that ledge, right? Then they launch out. Off they go to the top. They put a lot of faith in that rope. Now, there's something about that rope I need to tell you. The rope there they use is a genuine alpine rope. The reason why it's genuine, you take that rope, and the center of that rope is a scarlet thread. And that scarlet thread in that rope makes that rope so it does not break. They can put their trust in that rope to make sure that they get to the top, and that rope has never failed them. It's never let them down, you know. It's always been there. And if you've seen ones that have almost fallen off, that movie Everest where they did, they had that one time where they fell. Well, when they fell, they all clung to that rope, and they made it. They made it because they clung to the rope. They held on. That was a faith they had. Well, I'm here to tell you something. Starting from the book of Genesis, as a tiny trickle, what seemed insignificant until it finishes as a flood of atonement in Revelations. If you cut this book in any point, it has a scarlet cord. It has a scarlet cord. A crimson sinner. Millions have put their trust in it and have never been led astray. That's Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation is Jesus. It's through his blood. Now what I understand about that, the blood of Jesus is what saves us. Amen? The blood of Jesus is what sees us through. The blood of Jesus is what protects us from every evil that comes against you. It's the blood of Jesus. If you take the blood out of the Bible, you have dead philosophy. Do you know there are churches today that are trying to take the blood out of the Bible because they say it's gory? And what they've done is they've taken, I hate the word religion, but they've taken the philosophy of Jesus and his blood and relinquished it to nothing. That it didn't mean anything, what Jesus did. But I tell you, what Jesus did needed to be done. In the Old Testament, what they did is they had sacrifice. According to the commandment of God in the book, in Leviticus, when he put together the Levitical tribe and the covenants, he put it together and said there must be a sacrifice given to sacrifice for your sins. God understood that we were sinful, right? Okay? Let me give you an example of what took place. In Genesis, when Adam was created by God, right? Adam was created, but he was not a living being until what took place? God had to breathe the breath of life. And I believe at that time, when he breathed the breath of life, he initiated his blood, God's blood, into Adam. And it flowed into his veins. When that breath took place, that was the blood of God put into Adam. Adam sinned. God knew it. God said, we still must have a sacrifice. We must have this to let them know that I'm forgiving them of their sin. So they, from the Levitical time all the way through the Old Testament, there was a sacrificial time. The priesthood had to sacrifice for the sins of the people. Okay? This was in the Old Testament. But let me ask you this. Did it fully take away their sin? No. It covered it for a period of time. And God realized it covered it for a period of time. But there was going to come a time when he knew what he had to do. And what he had to do is he had to give his son. He had to say, son, you're going from heaven and you're going to take on humanity. And when you take on humanity, you're going to go down there. You're going to let them know that they can live. First of all, Jesus proved one thing when he came to this earth. He proved you can live a sinless life, didn't he? He proved it. Where we, from the Old Testament, from Adam's time up until Jesus' time, we could not prove that because we are a sinful nation. We are a sinful people. And because of that sin is why he initiated the blood covenant, why he initiated having to sacrifice that blood. He had to do that. God knew there's going to come a time when I'm going to give the Lamb of all lambs to take away the sin of the world. Jesus came. Guess whose blood flowed through Jesus' veins? God's blood. God's blood. And God knew that I have to sacrifice my son upon that cross, so that when he shed his blood, it would be the full lamb's blood for a world. Yeah. It wouldn't be for a time period. It wouldn't be for a month. Wouldn't be for a year. But it would be for eternity. God gave his son to die on that cross. His only son. That took a lot. Did you know that when Jesus was on the cross, what took place when all of a sudden he felt he lost the presence of God? He could not feel the presence of his Holy Father in him. And that's when he cried out, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the reason why, at that point in time, he took on the sin of the world. God can't be where there is sin. So think about that when you're out there playing in the world. And you're playing with sin. God can't be where sin is. Okay? And this is where many born-again believers today are kind of falling by the wayside because they're playing and experiencing with sin. When you play or experience this with sin, that doesn't mean you're automatically going to die and go to hell, but that does mean you start experiencing and playing with it, God can't be there, and you lose your covering of protection. Woo! Do you understand what I'm saying? You lose that covering, you lose that protection, and all of a sudden Satan will come like a whirlwind and can take you down. When you lose that protection, you lose that covering. The covering is Jesus. The covering is his blood upon your body. The covering is Jesus' body, his presence inside you. So be careful when you kind of mess around with sin, because it will take you down. And you will lose. That's why Jesus, what it says in there, if you think that you have not, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him, who? Jesus, a liar. And his word is not in us. Whoa. We have to be careful. But the blood of Jesus does a whole lot more. Because it cleanses you. It protects you. It washes you. And when that sin comes around you, I always say, run from it. I had, when I was doing my interview at this St. Mary's, they asked me a funny question. And we were having a good time at the interview, and that one of the ladies said, now what do you do about exorcism? And the other lady said, now that's a strange question to ask. Well, she says, well, you know, I'm asking it because I had to go through something like that with one of our patients. So what do you do? I said, well, the only thing I know to do is I pray for him. I pray, man, and if that don't work, I run. Because it's not me that's doing it anyway. It's our Heavenly Father that heals, that does that exorcism. You know, and the devil can't be around God. Okay? The disciples were a good example of that when the disciples were praying for a demon-possessed person, a kid, and the father said they tried, they couldn't do it. Why? Because they lacked the faith. They lacked the faith. It takes faith. The blood of Jesus. I say he's your protection. If anything out there goes wrong and the devil comes with in both barrels, oh my goodness. You have the power of the blood of Jesus upon your body to see you through. Amen? Amen? Let me go on. I haven't even got through page one yet. If you take the blood out of the church, the living church body will become a dead corpse. Amen? Take the blood out of preaching and the people will become and have their ears tingled and their intellects appealed, but they will go out bound by the same sin that they came in unchanged. Hebrews 9:22 tells us that without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission. No remission of sins. Through the blood of Jesus, there is power to cleanse the worst of sinners. The Old Testament tabernacle was tested and lasted for 1,400 years. The priests were instructed to sprinkle blood, fresh blood, daily on the altar. God said one day, I'm going to send a lamb to end all lambs. and a sacrifice to end all sacrifices. It's not going to be do anymore. It's going to be done. It is finished. And that was Jesus' last word. See, after he had cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He took on the sin of the world at that point in time. And this last saying that he said, it is finished. Now, it wasn't it is finished from some poor person that had no hope. He cried out, it is finished, as a victorious statement. I have done my course. I have stayed faithful. I am sinless to the end. I have finished and paid the price. Now sin is removed from the world. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Now that doesn't mean that you are inapt from sinning. We all have the ability to sin. But because Jesus paid the price, because Jesus cried out, it is finished, because he paid it, we have now an advocate for that sin. And that's Jesus. His blood that shed it for you and I. His blood that flows through your veins. His body that is inside you is that redemption of sin. And when you hold true to that, there is no way sin can come into your life. Amen? Now, this is why Jesus was born. The reason why Jesus was born and came to this earth was to die, to pay the price. He became that lamb. In Genesis, it was a lamb for Adam and Eve, an individual. In Exodus, a lamb for a family, the night of the Passover. In 2 Chronicles, Solomon sacrificed, listen to this, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep of blood for a nation, the Israel nation. Jesus came and John said, he will spread his arms wide enough at Calvary to be called the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Not just a nation, not just an individual, not just a family, but the sin of the world. Jesus took care of that with his blood. Hallelujah! Jesus shed his blood for you and for me so that we might have a new life. A life that knows no death. A life that has the ability to walk right into the holies of holies and approach the throne of God and pray to God. We didn't have that ability before Jesus. And when Jesus on that cross and he died and he said it is finished, after that final word, it says the holies of holies, the curtain that hid the inside sanctuary part was torn. Not from the bottom up, from the top to the bottom, torn wide open, opening the door to the holies of holies. This is the throne room of God. Did you know before that you weren't allowed? My goodness, if you ever went to the throne room of God in the Old Testament, you'd be killed. Did you know that that the priest, the high priesthood, once a year, one priest went into the throne room? Do you know how they had to make him, prepare him to go in? They tied a rope around him. They put jingle bells on him. Okay? As long as they had heard the bells ringing and the rope moving, they knew he was alive. That way it was very, very much that you came in that holies of holies without sin. Because if there was any sin, you would automatically be shot down dead by the Holy Spirit. But guess what? Now that Jesus paid the price, and now that the holies of holies are open, wide open, you can't go in there. But the blood of Jesus is on your body, and through his atoning blood, you can walk straight up into the holies of holies. You can walk up to the throne room of God, and you can approach God and talk to God through Jesus. Do you understand that? Never feel that you're not worthy, because you're not, but the Jesus that lives inside you is. Hallelujah! Come on, that should make you want to shout a little bit. Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and virtue in the blood of Jesus, we have the ability, because of the blood of Jesus, to enter into the Holies of Holies. We have the authority through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus that lives inside you, to be able to go and talk to God. Woo! My goodness. The day that they crucified Christ, the scripture tells us, they put a crown of thorns on his head. Let me give you the symbolism of that. The crown of thorns caused Christ to bleed from his head. The head is a symbol of authority. And Christ has all authority over Satan. And what he is trying to do to mankind. Just look around you. You call it ISIS, I call it Satan. What ISIS is doing is nothing but symbolic of what Satan wants to do to the whole world. Not to the little country over there, but he's coming. He's coming to do it to the whole world. Okay? America is not alienated from what Satan is trying to do. And frankly, America now is leading into what he's trying to do. Because we're taking God out of everything. Better be careful. If you should be praying more today than you've ever prayed in your entire life for America. We were founded under God. We've lost God. We need to get back to God. Because if we don't get back to God, America's doomed. That's all I say. I won't say any more on that one. The head is a symbol of authority, and Christ has the authority over Satan and what he is trying to do to mankind. God has given us authority over any demonic force by the blood of Jesus. Amen? I come against you by the blood of Jesus. If you ever feel attacked by Satan, if you ever feel kind of weird and things aren't going right, I tell you, come against Satan, come against his powers, come against his authority in the blood of Jesus. And Satan has to flee. Because the blood of Jesus is authority head. Jesus is the head. And he's over Satan. And Satan cannot be anywhere Jesus is at. You can say amen to that one. Second, they whipped him. As they whipped Jesus with a cat of nine tails, and he bled profusely from his body. Every stripe he took was for our sins. I believe that he bore my stripes and my pain. Those stripes could be symbolized as our sicknesses and our failures. The blood of Jesus heals you. The blood of Jesus heals you. If you ever feel down and out, if you ever feel sick, if you ever feel just worried to death and you don't know what to do, plead the blood of Jesus over your body. Because there's power in the blood. In the sicknesses. There's power. Ron Bonnke last night, he was preaching to thousands. It was in Australia. And the last part of his sermon, he says, I could have every one of you come up that need prayer. But I can't do that. I wouldn't have enough time. Because there's probably like 50,000 people. He says, you that are sick, raise your hand. Put your hand upon the part of your body that's sick. And if there's more than one part, put it upon your head. I'm praying right now that Jesus Christ himself will take his hand and put it upon your head. And the blood of Jesus will be laid upon you. And healings will take place. Cancers will leave. Hallelujah. Depression will go. That's what he said. That's the power. The power of Jesus. The power of Jesus. They mocked him, right? They mocked him. As they mocked and ridiculed Jesus, he said nothing. This should tell us that whatever your accuser might say to you, the blood of Jesus justifies you. Whatever they say, and you're going to get accused. Come on. I lost a job. I was accused of wrongdoing. Accused. And I could have got all mean and honor and upset, but it's God. I'm there to help. If they don't like to help, that's their problem, not mine. Satan does not like you. And Satan will do whatever he can to destroy, to kill, and to maim you, and to do, take your job away, take your income away. That's his job, is to take whatever he can away from you to make you so down and out that you can be no good for God. That is not going to happen. The accuser might try anything he wants, but I have a God in heaven that stands by me and that will see us through. He has always seen us through no matter what we go through, and he'll see you through no matter what you go through. Then, the very last thing that Satan did, then they killed him. And Satan thought, oh, I did it. I beat. They nailed him to the cross. And as they put the spikes into his hands and his feet, it goes directly through the arteries and the blood flows from his hands and his feet. Let me tell you, hands are the symbol of working because we work with our hands, right? Feet are used for walking. We are walking and are able to walk with God no matter what they say, no matter what they do. We have the ability to work for God. We have the ability to walk for God. So what they were trying to do, what Satan was trying to do is take that ability away by putting his hands and his feet and nailing him to the cross. That didn't quite work, did it? John 19:34 says, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. As Adam was put to sleep, and from his side he birthed Eve, Christ's side was pierced, and he birthed the church. Do you understand that? He birthed the church. Blood and water came from his side. The blood of Jesus is the power of the church, and the water is the living word. So the power of the church was the blood of Jesus, and the water was the water of the word. What that soldier did was initiate the church, initiate the word of God, initiate the blood of Jesus upon our lives. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. 1 John 5:5-8 in the Amplified says, who is it that is victorious over that conquers the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Who adheres to and trusts in and relies on that fact? This is he who came by with water and blood, his baptism and his death. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, not by in water only, but by in the water and the blood. And it is the Holy Spirit who bears witness, because the Holy Spirit is the truth. So there are three witnesses in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three witnesses on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree, are in unison, their testimony coincides. They are one. Do you understand that? Let us today grab a hold of that scarlet cord and launch out in faith, believing that it will keep you safe and secure under the blood of Jesus. I take you to the last scripture, and it's John, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Take that with you today, because that's what the blood is. Now, there's a whole lot more, and one of these days I'm going to take you through a study on that blood. If you ever get a chance, type in blood of Jesus. Ron Wonky. I can't think of his. Yeah, he's German from Africa, South Africa. And he, that message is a 45-minute message that he gave on the blood of Jesus that is wonderful. Take time to watch it. It's a video on YouTube. Watch it. I think it'll encourage you on that blood of Jesus, because that blood flows in your veins. If you are a born-again believer, it flows in your veins. If you're a born-again believer, you don't have to worry about sin, because you don't have that sin. Sin's going to be all around you, right? But it's not going to be in you because of the blood of Jesus that flows in you. This morning, as we partake of communion, I think what I want to do today to make it just easy, I would like for you to come up. I'm going to stand here. Sharon, you can go to the piano. I'd like for you just to come up and take up the elements. We do an open communion here, and all are welcome. Take the elements. No? Yes. That's okay.
That's okay. Just sing stupid.
Yes. No. You can go to the piano right now. There you go.
That was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the way
partake. Yes, Lord. Your body is torn apart for us. And you shed your blood. All you bled out for humanity, so that we may be born again and live a sinless life because of you. Rhonda, pray over this blood.
Thank you,
Take that blood of Jesus with you. I have some new books from Our Daily Bread. This is for Christmas. It's 10 little devotions. Please, I'll give you guys something to read. Yes. Yes. Okay, let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sharon, close us in prayer, please.
Hallelujah. Lord, we're thankful, dear God, to be in your house, Lord, to hear your word, dear God. And Lord, help us never to forget what you've done for us, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the price you paid. It was such a price, Lord, that man could not do it. But God, I thank you for paying the price for our salvation, Lord. I plead the blood on everyone that's in here. Lord, protect, direct, and Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be with each one of us, Lord, as we go to our homes and wherever we go, Lord, that you are here with us. We thank you and praise you again. Amen. Amen.